Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. But first, here's his message, All the Lonely People, Part 2.
Loneliness is a common problem. Everyone experiences being lonesome or lonely, whether it be just something as simple as a breakup when you're a teenager, or homesick when you leave home for the first time, or things more dramatic, as in the death of a loved one, or just that ache, that sense of being abandoned and alone in life. And you know, so many people feel lonely all the time. They just don't feel as though they fit in anywhere. They feel left out or left alone, and they're really not a part, unwelcomed, and many people feel even unloved. That's the human condition. Everyone at one time or another feels loneliness, but some live with loneliness every day of their lives. So what is loneliness? Let's speak for a few moments about the loneliness of sin. Now, loneliness in and of itself is not sinful. It's not a sin to be lonely. It's human to be lonely. But sin can certainly lead to loneliness. If you try to fill your soul, this part of you, inside of you that is made for God, then ultimately it will let you down. That's what happened to the woman at the well that Jesus met. Out there in the middle of the day, this woman who's been married 5 times and now living with another man, she sought to fill that hole in her heart with relationships, and she went from one person to another, one husband to another, but she's never satisfied until she meets the one who is the water of life. That story can be told again and again, and Jesus often spoke of people who are alone in life because they chose to walk away from God. That's what sin does to us, separates us from God. But what Jesus will do for us is to connect us with God and bring us to the Father, bring us into the presence of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But there's the loneliness of sin. And you can be forgiven of your sin, and Christ can change your life and live in your life, and His presence will fill you. That's a promise from God's Word. But yet we still deal as Christians with loneliness. And there's the loneliness of suffering. The loneliness of suffering. All kinds of pain in people's lives, physical pain and emotional pain. And pain has a way of parting us from other people. Some people, right now, I'm speaking to some of you, and you're in a hospital room. And because of your physical illness, you've been separated from maybe family or friends at church. But it separates you. Maybe you can't work anymore. I mean, those are just a few of examples of how pain and suffering, physical pain and suffering, can separate you from the people that you love. Emotional pain can do the same thing. We've talked about the struggles that people have in their soul, the soul pain, psychological pain, whether it's depression or stress or anxiety or grief or all of those things. That kind of sorrow, or rather suffering, in your life can cause you to feel very alone. Very alone. The classic example in the Bible, of course, is Job. Job is sick. He's dying. He loses his family. He loses his personal property and possessions. He's lost it all. God allowed Satan just to tear down this man's life. And he's sitting on an ash heap, cutting himself with potsherds, stones. Just his skin, his bones, he's aching. His wife tells him to curse God and die. Now that was helpful. And then he had so-called friends, and so much of the book of Job is a conversation between Job and these these would-be friends who come and they often accuse him of, because of his mistakes or failures or whatever, try to put blame on Job for his sin. And he ends up really all alone in his suffering and in his pain. And so in Job chapter 19 and verse 13, here's what it says. He has put my brothers far from me, and those who knew me are wholly estranged from me. Sometimes if you're going through pain, emotional pain and struggle and grief, even the people that you thought would be there for you leave you. But I tell you who will really treat you poorly when you're in trouble, when you're hurting, and that's the world. The world will run like rats from a sinking ship when you really need them. And so here we are suffering alone. Maybe emotional pain. Sometimes people who have psychological or emotional problems, maybe they live in shame or live in fear. They don't want to get close to anybody because they're living with pain in their lives. Depression in particular turns people inward and often into self-pity. And is suffering, real suffering. But in suffering, you can experience the living presence of Christ, who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You can know the presence of God. Your Bible is filled with hope, God's promises for those who suffer. This Bible contains the living presence of God. The Holy Spirit breathes through His Word. And God's Word fills our hearts and our minds, and the very presence of Jesus steps out of the pages of Scripture and into our lives. So, yes, get alone. You've got your Bible. You have hope, even if you can't even get to church. Open your Bible. Listen to God's Word and let God's Word comfort you. His living presence is with you wherever you go. Jesus died alone. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. David said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. But Jesus walked that valley all by himself for you and for me. And now when we're in the valley, when we're in the deepest of sorrows, he's promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. Then there's the loneliness of sorrow. As a pastor, I've walked with so many people the trail of tears. Funeral services, memorial services. The ministry is a wonderful place to serve God, but it's often accompanied by grief in people's lives. And a loved one goes to heaven, a child, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, or a husband or wife, and you go home to an empty house and an empty bed and an empty heart, and the pain, the grief is so great, and the tears flow, that's a loneliness that you can't describe unless you've experienced it. I can just tell you as a testimony, when my father unexpectedly went to heaven, left my mother, a 54-year-old widow, she felt so alone. My brother and I are out of the house, and she's by herself for the first time in her life, and my heart ached for her. And we ought always to remember those who grieve, those who hurt, those who... Many are in nursing homes. If you have an older adult in your family, a mom or a dad, don't ever abandon your parents. That's a big sin. You may not can take care of them in your home. That might be impossible, but you can love your parents or make sure your parents are loved on. You can pay attention, and you can keep in their lives as best as possible all the time. Because sorrow can wreck a person's life, of course. But aren't you grateful for a day when God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes in heaven, when we truly get home? We will be with Him. We will be his people. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more tears, for God's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And there will be no more pain and no more separation. When John wrote that, the Revelator in the book of Revelation, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He was, in effect, alone, dying on a prisoner's island. A disciple of Jesus, alone, dying like this. And he looked out there, and he got to the edge of the... I've been to Patmos, and it's a rocky island to this day, and you can actually stand on the edge of the sea and look over, and you can see Ephesus, some of the other islands. And that was part of the pain that John must have been feeling. And just to be separated from all those loved ones and all those family and friends who were way out there, he could see them, he could taste it, but he couldn't get there. And that's when he saw the risen Lord on the Lord's day. He was comforted by the presence of God. And when he got to the end of the book and he's writing about heaven, and when he says there's no more sorrow, no more suffering, he says there's no more sea. What? How did that get in there? It was the sea that was separating him from the people that he loved the most. No more separation. You'll be together with your loved ones again in heaven if they know the Lord, if you know the Lord. But sorrow can be so isolating and hurtful. Then there's the loneliness of society. Just quickly on that, today we're staring into our screens. We're all connected with social media. You know, we got Facebook friends and Twitter followers and Instagram grammars, I guess, whatever. You got all these people, but they're really not in your life. They're acquaintances, perhaps, and are social media friends. But we worry about teenagers today, and there's studies on this right now, who are oftentimes isolated and depressed because they're all into their screen. You look at people today, everybody's got their head down. Everywhere you go, in a restaurant, or some of you right here in church today, you're looking at your screen. Now, if you're looking at your Bible on the screen, I get that, okay. But so many people, that your head is right here, it's always down. No wonder you're down all the time. Look around you. Get involved in people's lives, because there's the loneliness of society. With all this going on in the world today, it's a lonely place, isn't it? If you don't know the Lord, it's a frightening place. So there's the loneliness of society. It's just the world. The world can't comfort you.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, All the Lonely People, Part 2. So many people are crushed by the stress of life and are searching for help and hope. That's why we're excited to share that a generous friend has offered to double your gift of up to $150,000 to help us reach our hurting world with the perfect peace Jesus offers. As a thanks for your gift, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help. This resource will help you walk in the quiet trust that comes with knowing your security in Christ, even in uncertain times. So call right now to have your gift doubled and request your copy of Help. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily emailed devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, All the Lonely People, Part 2.
So how do you lose the loneliness? What's the answer if you're disconnected? Well, number one, commune with God. Commune with God. There's a difference between solitude and loneliness. A lot of us could use some more solitude. Solitude's good for us. Solitude is getting alone with God. First of all, it's knowing God, knowing Him as your Savior and Lord, inviting Him into your life. So if you know Christ, then commune with God. I'm talking about be with God. Not just when you show up at church, but every day. I've been practicing spiritual communion with God for decades and decades and decades, over my lifetime. I get alone with God. Typically, it's at the beginning of the day. I want to meet with God alone. Call it a quiet time. Call it a devotional time. But it's time alone with God. And His presence fills your room. Look, Jesus is not someone I just talk about or think about. He's someone I know. I talk to Him all the time. And yes, He speaks to me by His Spirit. I've already spoken of God being alive in His Word and His promises. I'm telling you, it fills your life. Jesus is not someone I know or think about. He's someone I know. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him against that day. I know Jesus, and He knows me. That's what I'm talking about, on communion with God. My friend Bob Bodine has a book called Two Chairs. He suggests, and this is a good practice if you want to do it, set up a couple of chairs, one for you and one empty for Jesus. Let that chair represent the presence of Jesus. And you read your Bible and listen to God and you pray and you talk to Jesus like a friend. That's what stunned me as a teenager. You know, as teenagers, we can often feel awkward and alone, and who's your friends, who's not your friends. I can remember as a teenager being just taken back by John 15, which says, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Friends. That was my first sermon when I was 15 years old. About Jesus being a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Communion with God. And you don't get that if you don't seek that. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Again, if God seems far away, guess who moved? God's right where He's always been. If you'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Commune with God. And then secondly, connect with the church. Connect with the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about just going to services. I'm talking about get in the church. The church is the gathering of believers. The church is the people of God. Not an institution, but a living, breathing family. We are family. The Bible says, the psalmist said, God sets the solitary in families. Everybody needs a heavenly home. You need to know that you're going to heaven. You need a home, a family home with family, your loved ones, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your husband, that kind of home. And everyone needs a church home, a church family. And that's why watching on the internet, it's a good thing if you can't get to church. We have people. I was just thinking earlier as I was talking about lonely people. There are people serving our country in the military right now, and you're a long, long way from home. And we're thinking of you and praying for you and thanking God for you right now. Amen. And let this just be a word to you that God is with you this very moment. But you can be a way where you can't get to church, and that's why we can do video and online, and that's all good, but listen to me. That's no substitute for being with the people of God. It's no substitute for real church. Watching church on a screen, that's not church. Church is this, it's the people of God together. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says to stir up one another to love and good works. There it is. And not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Habit, I guess, 50% of people don't go to church who are even members of churches. But what are we to do? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing. Even more so now as we get closer to the return of Christ, the end of days. We're going to need each other. Have you noticed how much more we need each other today? Have you noticed lately that the world is turning on us fast and furious? those of us who love Jesus, those of us who preach God's word, those of us who advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not going to be a friendly place for Christians as we go. Religious liberties are on trial today. So we need each other, not just to huddle up in a holy huddle and wait for the second coming, but we need each other to encourage each other, to spark one another, to be with one another. You need God's church, God's people. It's the only institution, if you want to call it an institution, it's the only thing that Jesus established, the church. He left behind churches like this one. But reach out. You know, some of you have put a do not disturb sign around your neck. Open up your heart to people who care for you, God's people. And as I said, God's people will care for you when nobody else will. And then finally, get into a ministry. Finally, get into a ministry where you can serve the Lord. And that brings me to the last thing, and that is care about people. You know why some of you are lonely? Because you've turned so inward. Turn that outside and start serving people, loving people. If you want love, give love. If you want friends, be a friend. If you need help, be a helper. It's a simple but true and only way to live. And some of you are lonely because you're not serving anybody. You're not working for Christ. We have a group that comes up to PowerPoint about once a month. That's our radio and television ministry, and saves the ministry a lot of money because we have a group primarily of senior adults who come up and pack envelopes with the letters and the offers and the things that we communicate with thousands of people on PowerPoint. And they're up here lining the hall down by PowerPoint, and they're having the best time and eating a great breakfast and licking and sticking and serving. And they can stay home, sit in their house, watch Bowling for Dollars or whatever else is on now. No, they get out and serve somebody, serve a ministry. Men, you know there are a lot of lonely men because men typically don't have good friends. It's true. Get out of your pew, get out of yourself, get out of your house if you're physically able and serve the Lord. You say, I'm in a wheelchair, I'm homebound. Well, there's the ministry of prayer, which is perhaps the greatest prayer of all. And you can minister to the people around you in the hospital or in the retirement home. There are people all around us. Look at all the lonely people. Where do they come from? Paul asked. Not Paul in the Bible, Paul the Beatles. Where do they all come from? They come from everywhere. They're everywhere. But you don't have to be lonely another second, another day, if you will receive Christ into your life and come into the fellowship of His church.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, All the Lonely People, Part 2. Where do you turn when the stress of life feels overwhelming? Many people look to the latest self-help fad, but true rest only comes in returning to the Lord and trusting in Him. Because the truth is, you simply can't carry life's burdens on your own. In Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, he'll show you how to turn your stress into strength through the certainty of God's promises, so you can face any challenges that come your way. Help is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous $150,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to impact even more lives for Jesus Christ. So request your copy when you call today, knowing your gift will be doubled. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
The remedy for loneliness is Jesus. Simply put, Jesus, His presence in our life means that He understands us, and He understands us when we feel alone. Now, you may think, how does Jesus know anything about loneliness? After all, He's God. Well, when Jesus walked on the earth, He certainly experienced loneliness. The Scripture says that He didn't have a place to lay His head, that He was despised and rejected of men. Now, that sounds like loneliness to me. And another person in Scripture acquainted with loneliness is the Apostle John. You'll remember that John was banished like a castaway onto the Isle of Patmos, a veritable devil's island, a prisoner's island. And even though he was a dynamic Christian and full of the Spirit of God, there were times that he suffered from loneliness. But it was in the midst of his alienation and separation from family and friends that something dramatic happened. John had a vision given to him by the Holy Spirit where he heard and saw the coming again of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ and the events that surrounded his return. We call this the Book of Revelation. Now, I doubt that we will ever spend time on a deserted island like John, but maybe you feel like you're on an island spiritually or emotionally, terribly lonely, separated, and far from those who care for you and care about you. But listen, there is a cure for loneliness, and that is to experience the living presence of Jesus. Jesus is not someone we simply know about. Jesus is someone we know. And His presence, His friendship, His fellowship in our lives will always bless us and strengthen us and help us to know that we are never alone. No, never alone in Jesus. Do you know Him? Jesus is one that you can love. He will give you meaning that you're looking for in life. And He will do more than that. He will connect you with God and the friends of God where you will find fellowship and friendship and partnership in the work of Christ in your own life. So today, if you feel lonely, it may be because you're missing this wonderful Savior in your life. Trust Him right now. He knows you, and He's calling out to you today.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's 8-message series, Help, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can have the mind of Christ every day. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.